What's going on, everybody? I'm Jay, and this is the Rewatch Podcast. I watch movies all the time. Then I like to rewatch them, and sometimes I'll even watch them again. It doesn't matter if they're good or bad or just downright terrible. I'm going to watch them and then tell you all about them. And sometimes I'll have special guests join me. This is the Rewatch Podcast. Welcome back to the Rewatch Podcast. I'm Jay Thomas, and this week we are going to talk about Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire, and Roadhouse 2024, not the old one. Although I'm probably going to talk about the old one too, because I just watched that not too long ago. Also going to talk about some of the new trailers that hit this week, and I think maybe last week a little bit. And X-Men 97, it's finally out. Let's talk about it. First, let's talk about some trailers. All right, here's some trailers that came out that I was pretty excited to finally see. I had been waiting for a few trailers for a while of like, man, I can't wait to see what this is actually going to look like. And that was Alien, Romulus, The Crow, and Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. And we'll start with the one I liked the least, and that was The Crow. I just did a podcast, I think it was this year, maybe it was the end of last year, about how much I love the original Crow. And I love Brandon Lee, and, you know, as much as I like the movie, I can see some of its flaws, especially now as I get older and rewatch it. So it's not like the best movie in the world, but I still really enjoyed it. I thought it was a good movie and a great performance from Brandon Lee. And just the iconic look of The Crow, right? And all of the sequels are terrible. I don't like any of the sequels. But for some reason, I was kind of cautiously optimistic about this, because it's got Bill Skarsgård as Eric Draven, so it actually is the Crow character from the first movie. I think he's Bill Skarsgård. There's a lot of Skarsgårds. He's the Pennywise one. I think that's Bill, right? And they showed a picture of him a couple weeks ago, and picture wasn't great. It kind of had the Jared Leto look for the from the Joker, which, you know, I actually kind of liked his performance better than a lot of people did, but I thought the look was a little dumb. And this one, this looked more like the sequels to The Crow than it actually looked like The Crow. And I know it's doing its own thing, which is fine, but when it's actually Eric Draven and Shelley, whatever her last name was, when it's doing that original story again, I guess I thought it'd be a little bit closer, but they're doing their own thing. I guess they probably want to distance themselves from, you know, Brandon Lee, because that is loved by so many people. However, I don't know, like, it looks violent enough, it looks gory enough, sure, but the fact that it's The Crow, it just, it's kind of rubbing me the wrong way. And again, this is just the trailer. I'm not going to judge the movie solely on the trailer. I don't really like the look of the, like, his makeup either, which kind of hurts, because the original, again, the original look is so iconic. And I'm not huge into the comic books of The Crow, so I can't say if this is accurate in any way, but I haven't seen a lot of great reception for it. But I'm not totally against it. I just, this didn't get me excited for the movie. Alien Romulus is, I get excited for the Alien movies every time a new one comes out, and usually disappointed. That's just kind of the way it is. I love Alien. I really like Aliens. I'm on the Alien side. Usually people either love Aliens or they love Alien. I'm an Alien guy. Aliens is okay. It took me a long time before I actually liked Aliens, because I just like the horror aspect of it a little bit more. And Alien Romulus looks like it's taking a step towards that. It looks more like the original Alien. You don't see much. It's a perfect teaser, really. You get some sound effects. You see the inside of the ship. A few shots of people here and there. You see their little sleep pods where everybody's in while they're traveling. And some of the glass is broken and there's blood all over. You hear a xenomorph. And then you actually, you know, it's almost the exact shot I expected at the end of the trailer, where you actually see the xenomorph. It got me excited for it, kind of, enough. I wasn't disappointed like I was with The Crow. But again, this wasn't really showing me anything new either. This was like, oh yeah, this is an Alien movie. This is what Alien is. I'm not really surprised by this. Like, when I saw the trailer for Prometheus, which nobody really knew if it was a prequel, if it was a straight connection to Alien, which it kind of is, like, it's in the world, for sure, but it was kind of its own thing at the same time, and I like that idea. And that movie, again, not great. I do like Prometheus, but it's got a lot of problems, and I really didn't like when it actually directly connects with Alien. I didn't mind it was about the engineers, like, that's fine, and, like, there's creatures that look similar to the facehuggers and the xenomorphs, and it's like, oh, this is where those come from eventually, but then, I mean, it seems like it fast forwards and immediately just was like, let's get to the aliens. We should have done this from the beginning. No, we shouldn't have. And then it's just that one glimpse. It's like, well, we didn't even need that. Like, that seems so unnecessary. This movie should be over. Would have been perfect. And then they did Alien Covenant, and that was just atrocious. That's such a bad movie. But this one, it could be okay. I'm just going to go there. That's just where I'm going to stop. I'm going to end it right there. There's a new trailer for Furiosa, the new Mad Max movie. I don't know. I didn't think the last Mad Max looked good, and it was great. So I don't really have a lot of judgment. This one's kind of the same thing. This sort of looks like a direct-to-video version of Mad Max Fury Road, kind of. Like, I just don't know that I care. I'm not huge into the world. I mean, I love Fury Road. I thought it was a beautiful-looking movie. The action was amazing. Everything about it, I ended up loving, and I was surprised by that. So I'm hoping Furiosa does the same thing. But the trailer didn't get me that excited. Again, it's sort of like Alien Romulus, where I'm like, that's what I'm assuming it'll be. Like, that's what it kind of looks like. So maybe there'll be some surprises in there. The Fall Guy trailer came out as well, and it was the second trailer for that. I didn't watch the first one for some reason. Starring Ryan Gosling. I think it looks great. I think it looks like a blast. Looks funny, and the action looks really good, so I'm looking forward to it. Didn't really have much care about it one way or the other before. Harold and the Purple Crayon. I liked the book when I was a child. This looks like a child movie, so looks kind of accurate, other than the fact that for some reason it's like an older Harold. I don't really understand that, but they address the fact that the books exist in this movie and they're just coming out of the books, but it's like a grown-up version, so I'm sure they'll explain it in the movie. I don't know why they wouldn't just have it be a kid, like a little child. Like, that seems like it would work just as well, but whatever. I'm not going to see it in the theater. I might watch it on TV. Not going to probably do a podcast on it unless it's absolutely insane. And finally, the movie that I've been wanting to see a trailer for a very long time. We got a glimpse of it in images the other day, and that's Beetlejuice. And the trailer came out while I was sitting in the theater for Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, and I saw it, that it was finally released, and I'm like, I can't watch it here. And I was on my phone because the movie hadn't started yet. We still had like 10 minutes before the movie started, and other people were talking on their phones, and, you know, I could have watched it right then, but I didn't really want to watch it on my phone for the first time. And I thought maybe, since this was Ghostbusters, the trailer for Beetlejuice might be before it, because it's going to be a big blockbuster movie, so why not? It wasn't, but I didn't watch it. I was like, well, you know, if I'm going to watch it for the first time, I don't really want to watch it on my phone. I mean, I've done that before, but for this, I just love Beetlejuice a lot, like so much, and I wanted to watch it on a bigger screen, whether it's my TV or the computer or the theater, ideally. But I liked what I saw. Again, it was sort of like Alien Romulus, and that it was kind of a perfectly conceived trailer. You saw a lot of images of scenery from the first movie, but it was new, all in the new one. You saw Jenna Ortega riding a bike, very similar to the way Lydia did, Winona Ryder. You got to see Winona Ryder. You got to see Catherine O'Hara. They're at a funeral, which I don't know if it's going to be like the dad from the first movie or if it's someone else, but there's a choir singing Deo, and it's very kind of haunting in a way. So I'm like, well, the dad from the original movie, that would make sense if they were singing it for him, because they had that moment where everybody was dancing. I have no idea. I don't know what's going on, but I liked it. And then, of course, there's the shot of Beetlejuice at the end of the movie, at the end of the trailer. So it was a perfect teaser. Didn't really tell you anything, but it was enough to get you excited. And I hope it's good. I really, 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 really hope it's good, because I haven't really liked a Tim Burton movie for a really long time. And I'm hoping Beetlejuice breaks that. I think it's interesting that it's also written by Goff and Miller, who created Smallville. They created Wednesday on Netflix. So they're teaming up with Tim Burton again. And I liked Wednesday. I thought it was fine. So I'm hoping Beetlejuice is as good as the teaser kind of led me to believe. But all right, those are the teasers and trailers that came out that I enjoyed and kind of didn't when it comes to The Crow. But another thing that came out this week that I have been waiting for a long time, a lot of people have been, and that was X-Men 97, the new animated X-Men series on Disney Plus. It's a continuation from the animated series. It's the thing that got me to want to watch some of the movies again, which I did a podcast a couple weeks ago about. And I can honestly say I love it. I absolutely love it. It looks crisp. It looks great. And it still has the feeling of the original series. Like, I don't remember the whole original series all that well, but I did watch the entire first season of it and the first couple episodes of season two. So it's in my mind currently. Like, I'm fresh in it. And then watching this, it seems like a perfect follow-up. Honestly, it adds characters that I really liked. And it does something that I was surprised about. At the end of the episodes, I was like, yes, I want the next episode immediately. First one, not so much. The first one felt a lot like all the episodes of, like, the old show sort of had this, like, to-be-continued feel to it, which sometimes got annoying. And the first episode kind of has that, like it's a cliffhanger, like, oh gosh, what? I mean, you knew what it was going to be if you saw the trailer for it, it's because they kind of give that away. But then the second episode, the way that one ends, I was like, oh man, I want the next episode right now. I'm so intrigued on where this is going. It's got the political consciousness of the original. There's a lot of people screaming woke, which is stupid because it's always been this way. Like, that's just the way X-Men is. And I thought it was a perfect continuation of the original series. So I was very happy with the first two episodes. The only thing I didn't really like is I don't like the way that Magneto is in this one. I don't like the way he looks. He's got a new suit, and I'm pretty sure it's a suit that's in the comics, but I didn't like it there either. I just kind of like the sort of classic Magneto look, and they got rid of it for some reason. There's a couple changes to a couple different people. Overall, I liked it. And again, if you listen to the previous X-Men episode I did, where I kind of talk about how Cyclops used to be my favorite character, and it was a lot of it had to do with the animated series. And then I was like, well, he's kind of lame. Like, as I grew up, I didn't really like him as much. Even when I was rewatching it, I didn't think he was all that cool. And I think they made a very conscious effort to make him cool in this one, and it worked. I liked a lot of the stuff with Cyclops in these first two episodes, so I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. All right, what do you say we talk about some movies? You want to kick things off with Ghostbusters Frozen Empire? All right, let's do that.
I've been waiting 40 years for this. They called themselves Ghostbusters. According to these hacks, they saved the world. No eyewitnesses. And who is found to carry the torch? Descendants of Egon Spengler. You have a miner hanging out the side of a moving vehicle, firing a laser gun indiscriminately.
It has a proton pack.
It's completely safe.
I wouldn't say completely safe.
The Ghostbusters are finished.
Right. Well, overruled.
Sustained.
Thank you.
You the weird guy who buys strange old things?
Correct on both counts.
Buddy, you just hit the jackpot.
What is it?
Better question is, what's inside of it?
The parables tell of an unimaginable evil commanding an army of ghosts. With the power to kill by fear itself.
Like, literally scared to death?
We might be looking at a second Ice Age.
We're gonna need all the help we can get.
Let's get to work.
Can I be of any help?
Melnitz in uniform!
Yeah!
If there's something strange, if there's something weird, who are people gonna call?
Ghostbusters, what do you want?
We're the Ghostbusters. Can I tell you something else?
What?
Buster makes me feel good.
Makes me feel good.
Ghostbusters Frozen Empire is a continuation of Ghostbusters Afterlife. It takes place in the world of our original Ghostbusters, so it doesn't have anything to do with the Answer the Call movie, which I, again, prefer to Afterlife. I thought that was a much better version of a new Ghostbusters than this one was. But then when I saw the trailer for, because I was a little underwhelmed. If you go back and listen to my old Ghostbusters Afterlife podcast, I didn't hate the movie, but there were things I just thought didn't make any sense. The whole thing felt very nostalgia baity. Like, it was just like, hey, remember this from that movie? That's what this is. We're just doing this again. It's the first movie all over again. We're not going to really change much. You're just going to see stuff you saw before. Isn't this cool? But it's Egon's family. Holy shit. And the more I've watched Afterlife, I didn't like it that much. But then when the trailer hit for Frozen Empire, I was like, oh my God, this looks really good. It looks like an original story. It looks like something that's straight out of the animated series, which I absolutely love. The real Ghostbusters, one of my favorite things when I was growing up. I loved the real Ghostbusters. I have to say the real Ghostbusters because there's another Ghostbusters cartoon at the time. Nothing to do with the movies whatsoever. So I liked that idea, and I liked that it looked new and it looked exciting. It looked like the Ghostbusters, like Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd and Ernie Hudson were more involved. I was like, yes, this is awesome. Like, this is what I wanted out of that last movie. This is going to be great. Well,
tell them about the Twinkie.
What about the Twinkie?
I will just say I didn't dislike it, but it also wasn't very good either.
Judgment Day. Judgment Day.
Like, it's just kind of there. I can honestly say I liked Afterlife better than this one because the trailers are very misleading.
And again, you really can't judge the movie on the trailer. I don't know how many times I have to say that. You can't blame a movie for not being what you wanted it to be. So obviously, I'm going to rewatch this movie. I'll probably buy it, which is a sickness that I have. But overall, it's just the thing that is missing is the fun. Ghostbusters has always been fun and funny and kind of a ride. And I never felt like this movie really took me on a ride of any kind. And it wasn't that fun compared to the other movies. I really like McKenna Grace. I still think she's the best addition to these movies. Paul Rudd kind of felt like he was phoning this one in a little bit. Carrie Coon was there. Finn Wolfhard, I don't know why he was in it. He seemed like he didn't know why he was in it. Like, I saw this critique in a lot of different reviews of, like, a lot of the characters that were in the last movie are in this movie. Like, I think almost all of them. But they feel like they're there just because they felt like they needed to be there. But they don't really have a lot to do. Like, Finn Wolfhard, he doesn't have, like, an arc in this at all. He's just, the whole first half of the movie, he's like, I'm an adult now. I'm 18. I can do this. I can do that. That awe and wonder of the first movie, of, like, discovering all this stuff, there's nothing like that in this movie. And, like, that enthusiasm for it isn't really in this movie. And I don't know why, but, like, Paul Rudd seems kind of muted, and Carrie Coon, who's the mom, they're all Ghostbusters now. They all live in the firehouse, and it's all owned by Winston Zeddemore. He's got, like, this kind of bigger Ghostbusters empire. Empire's not the right word. Like, he's expanded it, and it's bigger. And there's another Ghostbuster scientist group that we're with, and that's also got Celeste O'Connor, who was Lucky in the original, in the last movie, which I totally forgot she was a character. I didn't even recognize her in this one until Finn Wolfhard's character actually says, like, oh, I didn't know you were going to be here for your internship. I thought you were still going to be back in wherever. I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot that she is from the last one. And McKenna Grace's Phoebe, her character's friend from the last one podcast, is also here in this one, Logan Kim, which, again, I liked him in the first one. And I liked him in this one, too. He's got the energy and kind of excitement that I feel like everybody, I wish they all would have had in this movie. Well, I suppose if all of them had it, it would not have been very good. But he's there staying with Ray. It's supposed to be like a summer camp type of thing, or he told his parents he's at space camp. It's a throwaway line, something like that. And then there's a few new characters as well that, like, work for Winston. And I liked the ideas that they were throwing out in this movie. There is a character that's very essential to the movie that has not remotely been shown in any trailer. And I'm not going to talk about this character very much, other than I thought it was an interesting way to go, but I don't think it was executed very well. I liked the initial idea of it, and it really involves Phoebe a lot. And something that to do with her, I thought was interesting towards the end of the movie, that kind of leads to where the movie goes and where the end battle happens. Like, there's a thing that happens with her that I think was cool. I liked the idea a lot. But then I don't feel like they ever really, I think they could have done more with it. And there's a lot of things where I'm like, oh, that was kind of neat. But then you don't, then that's it. Like, it's just a quick little glimpse. I think the scientist's idea is kind of neat, to have a Ghostbuster science area that's not part of the firehouse. It's a different location and a much bigger ghost that they're studying there. And I thought that was neat. But as far as the original Ghostbusters being in it, they're in it more than the last movie, but not much. Like, Dan Aykroyd's in it kind of throughout the movie. Like, he's more involved. He's definitely got more to do in this one than he did in the last one. Ernie Hudson's in it maybe 4 or 5 scenes. And, you know, he's kind of the man in charge, essentially. And Dan Aykroyd is, he's retired, but he doesn't really want to be. But he can't really do the ghostbusting all that much. And then you've got Bill Murray, Peter Venkman. What you see in the trailer is essentially what you get from him. He's in one other scene. I kind of assumed he wasn't going to have as big of a role. The way that he pops in the trailer and, like, comes around the door is like, hey, you need help or whatever the hell he says. That's about the extent that I thought he was going to be involved. And that's pretty much it. We got one other scene, and it was sort of just a throwback to the last movie. But you do learn about another new character. Annie Potts is back as Janine. Again, she's not in it that much. They sort of make a big deal that she suits up. And she does about as much as Rick Moranis does in Ghostbusters 2. That's what I'll say. And she's not... There's the scene in the trailer where she picks up the phone and she's like, Ghostbusters, what do you want? Same thing she does in the original movie. That's not even in this. In fact, a lot of things that happen in the trailer don't happen in this. Like, you know the shot where they where you see him on the roof, Paul Rudd and all the characters that we know, the newer ones, Carrie Coon's character, McKenna Grace and Finn Wolfhard, they've all got those red coats on and they're like, whoa. And they've got the they've got their proton packs out. That's not in the movie. In fact, those red coats, which looked amazing, and they're all over on the poster, and it's like, oh, it's cool. They're adding color. It's sort of like the cartoon again. It reminds me of the cartoon. They don't wear those coats in the movie, I'm pretty sure. A couple other characters do, but they don't. Like, it's weird. That seemed like it. The trailer led me to believe there's going to be ghosts everywhere, and they'd have to be constantly doing something with ghosts. And that doesn't really happen. I mean, the big bad in this one, the big, like, demon thing that they have to get that's ancient evil is kind of neat. I sort of like the idea, but I don't know if it was the speakers in the theater or if it's just the way the sound was mixed in the movie. I could never hear him very well at all or what he was saying. And I think some of it was another language that's, like, dead and no one really knows it other than Patton Oswalt, of course. There's some parts I feel like we needed to know what was going on. They could have at least done subtitles. That's what's leading me to believe that maybe he was speaking English, and I just couldn't hear what he was saying. And so there were some things I was like, I could have used a little bit more explanation on. The ending has some parts that are sort of exciting, but not really. Like the end battle is very anticlimactic. The fun of Ghostbusters isn't really in this movie, which that was really disappointing to me. It has its moments. There are a few things I thought were neat. I don't know why they brought back the Stay Puft Marshmallow Men, the little mini marshmallows. They're all over this thing. They're constantly. They really have become like the minions of Ghostbusters, and I kind of hate that. I'm sure the kids are going to like it. There were kids in the theater when I was there. I went to the first showing in my town, and there were some kids there. I didn't hear them going crazy, though, which I thought I would. And there's a mid-credit scene as well. Kumail Nanjiani is pretty good in the movie. I liked him. I thought he was fine in his role. Patton Oswalt's got a scene that I enjoyed. There's some good throwbacks to the old movies and some of the old merchandise that Ghostbusters had. And I'm always confused on how long the Ghostbusters were actually in business. Because there's a couple times where it makes it sound like they've been in business this whole time. And other times it's like, no, they're not in business anymore. They haven't been forever. And no one believes that the ghosts really exist, but they've existed for a long time, the Ghostbusters. So I don't get it. I don't know what their deal is. Not a great recommendation for me, I guess. It's an okay movie, but more not really. I don't know. I think I just don't want to give this a negative review because it's Ghostbusters. This is my least favorite of the Ghostbusters movies. All right, let's talk about our second movie, and that is Roadhouse 2024. Directed by Doug Liman, starring Jake Gyllenhaal.
Before we start, do you have insurance?
What?
Your coverage good? Like, you have dental?
Oh, haha.
Is there a hospital nearby? Is it, like, too far?
It's about, like, 25 minutes, I'd say.
I just slapped you. Are you all right?
What?
So you like to fight. You ever win?
No one ever wins a fight.
This ain't the Holiday Inn, pal.
I'm moving.
A friend of mine suggested I come talk to you. I own a roadhouse out in the Florida Keys. Lately, it's been attracting the wrong clientele. I can pay you good money. Judging by your car, you need that.
Well, I like my car.
Think about it.
I know who you are. Elwood Dalton, big fan, man.
That guy's got a knife under his shirt. You just take a big step back and pop me in the face. You can do it.
Tell me about this bouncer.
Yeah, it's all nice, like he's Mr. Rogers or something, but then he'll haul off. Really interesting guy, overall.
Brand wants to take the roadhouse away from me. He wants to build some resort.
I should warn you, people have a certain way of getting things done around here.
Hey, fellas. Looks like you're having a smashing tonight. Dalton! I got a tip for you. Don't let no one get this close.
Come on, bro.
Let me guess. You're not threatening me. Tell me to get out of town.
I get the impression that he can't be threatened.
Once Knox is on the job, it's over, baby.
It takes a lot to get me angry, but when I am, I just can't let go.
People seem a little aggressive around here.
So when I first watched the trailer for this movie, a couple months ago or whenever when they first released it, I didn't care about it whatsoever. I didn't think it looked all that good. And because it seems like quite the departure from the original Roadhouse, which I've always enjoyed Roadhouse. But it's sort of like The Crow. Like, it's not super precious to me or anything. It wasn't like a movie that defined my childhood or anything. I do remember it being one of the first movies to see boobs in, which I must have time stamped into my head somehow, even before I knew time, because I seemed to always come in the room when there was nudity. And I got in trouble for it once because I think they figured out that I knew it even before I really was like, oh, there's definitely going to be nudity here. Like, I cared. I was like 7 years old. It's weird. But the original one, of course, starring Patrick Swayze and Sam Elliott and Kelly Lynch. It's a ridiculous movie. And I just watched it a couple weeks ago with Shauna. She had never seen it. I finally convinced her to watch it. And that movie is so silly and so ridiculous and such a B movie that just happened to have Patrick Swayze in it to elevate it. I mean, as much as Patrick Swayze will elevate something, it's so much fun at how goofy and ridiculous it is. And it just sort of lives in that campiness. I mean, there's so many amazing lines.
I used to f*** guys like you in prison.
He rips a guy's throat out. There's henchmen that drive a big 4x4. It's like 80s insanity. And I love it because of that. And just rewatching it, I was like, yes, this, I do love Roadhouse. I love it. It's so goofy and stupid. It's brilliant in that. And this new one, I rewatched the trailer after I'd watched the movie. And I was like, oh, this movie looks like it's maybe retaining some of this. Plus, I heard a good word of mouth. Like, a lot of reviews were starting to say it was actually a good movie. But I didn't like that they changed some things. Like, the character of Dalton, which was Patrick Swayze, now it's Jake Gyllenhaal. But Jake Gyllenhaal is, like, super ripped because he's not just a bouncer. He's an ex-UFC fighter who takes a job as a bouncer in a Florida Keys roadhouse called The Roadhouse, which they have a whole scene talking about that. In fact, I even Googled, what's a roadhouse? And then he finds out, you know, it's more than, there's other things going on. It's not the paradise that it looks like. And the thing that I don't like in this movie is that he's not just a bouncer, because there's something so campy and silly and stupid in the original movie that Patrick Swayze's just a bouncer. And he's famous for being a bouncer. Him and Sam Elliott both have, like, legends behind them as being amazing bouncers. Who gives a shit about bouncers? And everybody's like, oh my god, it's Dalton. Holy shit, it's Dalton. What are we gonna do? It's Dalton. And they do the same thing with Sam Elliott's character, which, Garrett? What was his name? Wade Garrett. That's right. And just, it's so silly because these are famous bouncers. And that's kind of ridiculous. And there's lines in this movie, in the new one, where they're like, can't believe a bouncer's doing this to us. Can't believe everything's being stopped because of a bouncer. I'm like, well, he's not really just a bouncer. Like, he's a UFC fighter that is clearly, he has brain trauma and is insane. But he's calm most of the time. And I will say, Jake Gyllenhaal, great performance. I thought he was really good in this. He's super calm and friendly and nice. And it's off-putting with the insane amount of violence that's in this movie. And, like, graphic violence. And the violence in this movie is very squishy. It's very squishy and bone-crunching-y. So much bone-crunching in this movie. You'd think it was, like, a Seagal movie or a Van Damme movie. Like, that, it does harken back to those 80s movies, which is great. And I don't mind that this movie is a departure from the original. Like, I like that it's kind of doing its own thing. Sort of like Fright Night. Fright Night is its own version of Fright Night, but it still follows a similar path. And this follows a similar path to Roadhouse. Like, he's a bouncer. He's trying to protect this bar, this roadhouse that is constantly has violence. Nobody can take control of it. So he's going to go and help out. And he's hired to do that by Charlie, who is a woman played by Jessica Williams. And when I say Charlie, I mean Frankie. Her name is Frankie. Well, she meets Dalton at, essentially, is like a cockfight. But it's guys. It's like an underground fight club. Kinda, and Post Malone is fighting. That's the first guy you see in this movie, is Post Malone. So right away you're like, is going to be the best movie of all time. Why would you open a movie with Post Malone? It's ridiculous. This movie is sort of a movie of two different styles. Like, there's some people that seem like they're definitely on board with how campy and silly the original movie is. And I think that's where the violence comes in. This is like Roadhouse by way of Fast and Furious. People get incredibly hurt in this, but they're also fine. They should be dead, and they're fine. Jake Gyllenhaal's Dalton definitely should be dead, but he's okay. He's okay. Kelly Lynch's nurse from the first movie, or doctor, is back, but it's not her. It's a girl named Ellie, played by Daniela Melchior from The Suicide Squad. And I thought she was fine in this. She's just kind of a general romantic interest lead, I guess you could say. Billy Magnuson plays Brandt, the super rich guy that wants to take over the land, and he wants where the roadhouse is to build this much bigger thing to show his dad that he's a big important person, and his dad is in prison, and he's trying to show him up, but the dad knows, and you never meet the dad, but the dad knows that he's screwing up and all his guys are getting hurt by this guy named Dalton, and so he sends a maniac named Knox, played by Conor McGregor in his first move, actual UFC guy, first movie, and Conor McGregor, again, he knows what he's doing. He is a freaking cartoon from the entire time he's in this movie. He's always smiling and talking sing-songy, which he's Irish, so I mean, that sort of just happens. But the incredible violence and the way he's acting is just so over the top. He would work well in the original Roadhouse, 100%. There's an evil sheriff. This movie, again, a lot of twists and turns. They go out of their way in one part where Dalton, when he first gets there, he meets a little girl named Charlie. That's where I got the name earlier, who's played by Hannah Love Lanier. And he meets her and her dad, and they own a bookstore next to a coffee shop called the Double Deuce, which was the bar in the original movie. And he kind of becomes friends with them, and she says he's kind of like a hired gunman, like in the Old West movie. They're telling you what this movie is. Like, he is the hired gun that's brought in to clean up the town, and then something starts to happen, and when things start to really escalate, then he's like, well, it's kind of like a mystery, too. Because, like, why are they interested in the Roadhouse? And, like, okay, now it's going to be a mystery movie. And the whole time, it's just sprinkled with insane violence and really fake-looking stuff at times. And most of the fights are very mixed martial arts. There's a lot of MMA-style fighting, and which makes sense because that's what Dalton is from. And Conor McGregor is a real UFC championship fighter, at least he used to be. So that's all fine and good. Dalton mixes it up with a motorcycle gang, and a couple times, and they're all part of Brandt's group, his gang, and he always tells them, like, you know, are you insured? And he's really nice and friendly to him, and then he beats the shit out of him. It's kind of great. Breaks bones. One of the fights at the end, everybody's getting tossed into things, and you hear bones cracking constantly, but then they're fine. So I'm like, well, don't add that sound effect if they're not actually breaking. The people that live in this movie should be dead. It's absolutely insane. Everybody basically has superhuman strength and can regenerate just like in the Fast and Furious movies. Like, that's why I thought it kind of was. That's probably why I do like this movie. And I do think it's fine. I think it's a fun, entertaining movie. It's ridiculous. Just know Conor McGregor is an absolute animation character. He is 100% playing this very big and campy, and he's just thrilled with everything, and he's a complete psychopath, which is kind of fun to watch. Billy Magnuson, I wish would have been a little bit more of a whiny bitch. He is, but he could have been more of a whinier bitch, and I would have liked that a lot. You meet a few of the people from the bar. One of the things that never changes in the original movie is the band at the Double Deuce is the Jeff Healey band the whole time. And in this one, the band's different like every night, which I guess makes a lot more sense. But I would have liked to have like one band the entire time. Arturo Castro, he plays Mo, which is one of the, like, the bad guys, the henchman guys. But he's one that you sort of get to know a little bit and like. And he's there throughout the whole movie getting hurt more and more, but also has like a weird kind of friendship with Dalton, or at least like a camaraderie with him. He's my favorite character in the whole thing. But I think Jake Gyllenhaal is really great in this. I think he plays his version of Dalton really well. They do a thing where in the original movie, things are referenced from the past. Like, you don't know anything really about Dalton, but you know something happened in another town and bad things happen all over the place. And in this one, you learn a little bit more about Dalton's past, this version, throughout the movie. There's like one particular fight where something happens and you get bits and pieces of it throughout the whole thing. And it's referenced a couple times. So people, like, know him ahead of time because he is Dalton, the UFC fighter. Not Dalton, because he's a bouncer. Again, I wish that was the case, but it's not. Whatever. But they do a thing where you think you know what happens in the past, and you probably do. But they don't 100% spell it out for you and say that this is exactly what happened. They leave it a little bit ambiguous to where they could go either way on this thing, because they don't say why he's the way he is. I mean, he does mention a thing about concussions, and, you know, he's nice and friendly when he needs to be, but then when he's bad, when something makes him mad, look out, which is sort of like what Patrick Swayze's like in the original movie. So I had more fun with this than I did with Ghostbusters, and I watched it right after Ghostbusters, which maybe helped a little bit too. I've seen a couple parts of it again since, because my wife watched it this morning before I recorded, and I watched a few parts of it too. And, you know, it is entertaining, and it's fun. I don't think it's as fun as the original, and it's 2 hours. It's like just 2 hours, and it definitely feels like it. Like, it probably could have cut some stuff out of this movie and slowed it down a little bit. The pacing is a little weird here and there, but for the most part, it's enjoyable. I had fun watching it. I think I would prefer the other one, and I probably will forget this movie happens. I mean, the action's fun, and Jake Gyllenhaal's really good. Connor's fun, but it's a pretty, like, kind of generic action movie for the most part. Again, kind of like Fast and Furious at times. There's Roadhouse. There's Ghostbusters. I would say if you were going to watch any of them right now, give Roadhouse a try, because it's fun. It's dumb. It's really stupid, but it's entertaining. That's the important part. And I didn't think that Ghostbusters was that entertaining and fun, which, oh man, just saying it makes me sad. I will probably be back next week with Godzilla and Kong. Maybe. We'll see. It's Easter weekend. If I can see it, I will pod about it.
The Rewatch Podcast is an Alpha Media production.